Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
Hey, what's up?
What the heck happened there, man? The music's playing.
Wow.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. I'm looking at the counter of the music playing, and all of a sudden it just stopped. All right. Well, that's Blog Talk Radio. What can I tell you? Welcome to
that's
the
right.
No Chaser Show. I am your co-host, JT, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this is where you want to be on the No Chaser with your host with the most. And you know who it is, No Holds Barred Mac Williams.
Hey, what's happening? What's happening, everybody? Hope you all had a great week. It is Friday. It is time for the weekend. And it's finally warm here in Maryland, D.C. area, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope it's warm where you are. If it's not, sorry for you. Anyway.
Don't say that, man. There's people in the Midwest that are dealing with crazy storms.
I used to live there, too, so I can't be mad.
Mm-hmm.
But JT, hope you had a great week. And,
oh, yeah.
Always glad to have you by my side. I want to start the show off saying that, first of all, we are sponsored by Trinity Web Solutions. Trinity Web Solutions, if you go to trinitywebsolutions.org, you will find lots of web tools to help your business and help yourself. You can always have free websites and do the free website and join all those other places, but I can tell you what, you will get what you pay for. With our service, it's a very good service, and it's very reliable. And just go check it out at trinitywebsolutions.org, and that's it for that. Starting the show off today, I wanted to start off the show with something that I was sitting here getting ready to read about the Phil Jackson book, MJ over Kobe. I'll just read a quote. I'll read a quote because he's comparing in the book, which of course everybody was going to focus on this anyway. It's a comparison between Kobe and Michael Jordan. And what it says on here is one of the biggest differences between the two stars, from my perspective, was Michael's superior skill as a leader. Though at times he could be hard on his teammates, Michael was masterful at controlling the emotional climate of the team with the power of his presence. Kobe had a long way to go before he could make that claim. He talked a good game, but he'd yet to be experienced the cold truth of leadership in his bones as Michael had in his bones. Some of the other things he put in here also, Jackson, who coached Jordan to 6 titles with Chicago Bulls and Bryant to 5 with the Los Angeles Lakers, also compared the players' defensive skills and accuracy. Once again, Jackson sided with Jordan, which this goes to what I've always said. I've always said the main reason why I could never say Kobe was as good as Jordan is because he's never won a Defensive Player of the Year award. Kobe is not known as a defensive stopper. He's never been known that in his career. He's never been a guy who, like, okay, he straps it down, he gets on you, and he gets after you. Michael had that reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And just to prove that point, I wanted to read an excerpt. And the excerpt here says, "No question, Michael was a tougher, more intimidating defender," Jackson writes. "He could break down virtually any screen and shut down almost any player with his intense laser-focused style of defense." Saying Bryant learned some of Jordan's defensive tricks, Jackson added, "In general, Kobe tends to rely more heavily on his flexibility and craftiness, but he takes a lot of gambles on defense and sometimes pays the price." Now that's pretty clear. But that's why Kobe's never won a Defensive Player of the Year award. To me, that's the biggest and clearest shortcoming with Bryant. Michael was very complete at both ends of the court. It's very hard to find anyone, and this is coming from a guy who's a lifelong, still is a Piston fan. Okay, so You know that I hated Michael Jordan. I'm not a fan. I'm a respecter. I respect him and I respect his game and who he is in history.
Right.
And I'll never
right.
put it down. But I'm not a fan like that. You know, I'm not a fan of Michael Jordan's. Love some of the shoes and all that stuff, but you know, even while I was a Pistons fan, I always respected Jordan. I actually liked Jordan. I was a fan of Jordan, even while it was the intense battle. But once he called my team dirty, after he couldn't get past us, that's when I lost all respect for him. So I stopped being a. At that point, I was like, I never bought another pair of shoes. I never bought nothing Jordan. Period. I was like, I'm not buying nothing else. Threw all my stuff out. Everything I had, anything I had, I ain't had that much. But what I did have, I threw it away.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm very serious.
Wow.
Because I grew up being a firm believer that if I play you a certain way for 4 years, in the fifth year, don't come back and cry about and then start calling me names and saying I'm dirty and trying to get the refs on your side because you can't beat me straight up. That was my problem with the whole thing. That's why to this day they walked off the court and never shook Jordan's hand. It wasn't that you found a way to beat me. What you did was you and Phil Jackson sat and whined and bitched and moaned and complained to the NBA and to the refs until they decided to start making the calls that they weren't making the 2 or 3 years before. Now, most people don't believe me because they're Michael Jordan fans, so they poo-poo it. But that's really what happened. That's why I say, and I digress, but that's why I say this thing that we're seeing with LeBron James, I've seen it before. The difference with that is Michael was everything they said he was, but they waited till he proved it. With LeBron, they wanted him to be the face so bad and to be so good, and when he had his shortcomings and he wasn't, and at the end of in the fourth quarter disappearing, in the fourth quarter fading, in the fourth quarter, you know, before he won his chip last year, they were so frustrated with where he was, you know, and this is, of course, my philosophy on what happened, is that the NBA got involved and decided we're going to make sure he gets it. So we're going to make sure he gets every chance he gets to get this championship, whether it be making mysterious calls that shouldn't have been made, calls that you would have never called had it been LeBron in the same place against Kevin Durant in the championship. And when you see those things, because that's what everybody was saying on Twitter and Facebook when last year in the finals. That's what everybody kept saying, man, these calls are crazy. Like, who's calling this stuff? Like, are you serious? Like, that's what? You know, and the flopping and all that stuff. So now that he has a title, now they're doing everything they can to make sure that he keeps it, and they're pushing it because they want to stamp, because he kept making them look like a fool, as far as I'm concerned. Because when you keep saying a guy is all this and all that, and then the fourth quarter he disappears, well, what do you look like? You look like a buffoon. You look like you don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I tell people all the time, I said, I've been alive long enough, I've seen this act before. And then it's funny how, what gets me, though, is how people, fans sit and say, well, nah, that ain't happened. Man, they don't cheat. They don't do that. I said, yeah, you say that because it's not your guy. Okay, so I understand that. But here's what gets me. But these are the same people who don't believe that the league does this. But you're the same people who sat and heard the referee that they threw out of the league say what the refs were doing in his book. And I'm pretty sure the guy ain't going to sit there and just tell a bunch of lies about, I mean, what does he have to gain by telling a bunch of lies? He ain't going to get his job back. He wasn't going to get his money back. So by him putting that book out, but I'm saying when you read that book, you realize that referees have feelings. They're instructed. They go by certain things too. Come on, anybody will tell you, Jerry. Nobody has ever put it like this. Nobody has ever, not a commentator. Nobody has ever denied that refs don't give. That refs are not told or are not instructed by the league to give them special treatment or maybe not to call as much to keep them in the game. Have you not heard that?
No.
No, you never heard that?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
No, that's what I'm saying. The favoritism, I'm saying when you're a star player in the NBA, you get away more stuff. You can travel, you can do. But I'm saying nobody, it's not a secret. Nobody's ever denied even commentators have never denied that that special treatment exists. That you know, because it's entertainment. Look at Greg Popovich when he took all his starters out and they played Miami on a major game on a night it was on TV. And who got fined? They fined Popovich. They didn't fine him because he did anything wrong. Because you can't say on one hand you're the coach, but then fine the guy because he don't put his starters on the floor. I thought this is a league of basketball where the coaches make their decisions, whether you like it or not. So what you're basically saying, you're trying to control the product. You got to have your guys on the floor because we'll get more viewership and we'll get more people on when you do that. So what I'm trying to say is these little things, the refs not calling certain calls on certain players but calling them on certain other players and things like that, this lets you know there's a culture of control. There's a culture. It's entertainment. You're going to control something. So why do people poo-poo it when I say to them, well, you don't think that the same refs didn't make calls for LeBron last year and the Heat? You didn't think they didn't really want the Heat to win. They wanted the Heat to win because LeBron was there, and they wanted to stamp it and say he's a champion to do all that they wanted to do. So as I say to you, if you already have a culture where you make certain rules for certain people and the rules are not even with everybody, well, what does that tell you? So why is it so far-fetched? That's what I'm telling you. So why is it so far-fetched that this guy, what I'm saying is the NBA is not, you know, doesn't have anything to do with anything. They're just totally absolvent. They don't control anything. I'm like, that's not true.
That's not true. You're right.
Right. So my thing is, so that's not far-fetched what I'm saying. So
no.
That's why when I said what I saw with Jordan, I'm seeing now with LeBron. Most people don't believe me. 90% of people don't believe me. But I said, but it exists. But the problem is they don't see it right now. So, but anyway, I digress.
Star players get preferential treatment with the refs. That's been going on for God knows how long.
Right. That's been going on for years. That even goes on.
Right.
But I guess what I'm saying is at the highest level, you wouldn't expect that to happen. That's really not the way it should be, but it is, which is fine. But what I'm saying is if I go as far as to control who I call it on and who as a league and as refs being instructed not to do that because you want to keep this guy in the game for entertainment purposes, then why is it a far-fetched stretch for me to think that you won't call the finals and call calls to favor LeBron to push him to be everything you want him to be the face of the league and to be successful face of the league so you can sell the league and sell him as your face. You kind of get what I'm saying? So that's not
I know exactly what you're saying. That's not a stretch. No.
Right. So people think, but when people say that, people think there's no conspiracy, there's no cheating or anything. I'm like, that's cheating because if LeBron hits a guy when he's going by him and you don't call it, that's still a foul. If you don't call it, that's cheating. That's not for calling a foul. But if I turn around, another guy with no name, a rookie, slaps LeBron or nudges him, and the same call you just didn't give to LeBron, now you give to a rookie, that's not a fair game. That's not right. And that's why I said last night, I really believe that the NBA is turning into it's more entertainment than it is pure basketball. It used to be, I think, in the 70s. It used to be. 80s, it used to be. But now it's more like it's turned, and I think it was at the time when Jordan came in, it kind of turned to more entertainment as it grew. And now it's a league of just, let's put the stars on and get the right matchups on, put it on TV, and just sell a bunch of games. And I'm fine with that. But, you know, keep basketball pure. If this guy you wanted to be the face of the league, let him earn it. And let them do it their way. And if they don't, then they don't. Because it's amazing to me how they never did this for LeBron in Cleveland, but now you do it for the Heat. That still blows me to this day. But anyway, on offense, Jackson continued to say that Jordan was also more naturally inclined to let the game come to him and not overplay his hand, whereas Kobe tends to force the action, especially when the game isn't going his way. When his shot is off, Kobe will pound away relentlessly until his luck turns. Michael, on the other hand, would shift his attention to defense or passing or setting screens to help the team win the game. That's what I was telling you. And I don't know if you remember me telling you this, but remember I said to you, I said, when I train players, or trained players, whether high school, adult, or whatever, I always ask them the question. I don't know if you remember me saying this. I said, when your shot is off, what else can you give me? What else can you do? Can you do something else to help your team win? But most players today say, well, if I'm not shooting, what do you see most players do in AAU or high school, whatever? They get down in the dumps.
Sure.
I'm not hitting.
They get out.
Right. Instead of, let me focus on defense. Let me do, you know, just passing if my shot's not on. Let me do the little things and the other things, rebound or whatever, to help my team win. And those are things that you don't have to have, and I don't want to say they're not skills, but I'm saying that's not something that's like, okay, I got to, you know, do this exactly right. Most of that stuff is a decision. It's just deciding I'm going to do it.
Right.
And that is why I said Jordan is more complete, because he does everything. Whereas Kobe is pretty much, I'm a scorer, and that's what I'm going to do. But I'm not. But he's not known as a defender. So, you know, I do agree with some of the excerpts. I haven't read the book. So it's kind of cool. One of the other things he said, he's also touched in the difference in their personality. Michael was more charismatic and gregarious than Kobe, George Jackson writes. He loved hanging out with his teammates and security guards, playing cards, smoking cigars, and joking around. Kobe is different. He was reserved as a teenager, in part because he was younger than the other players and hadn't developed strong social skills in college. When Kobe first joined the Lakers, he avoided fraternizing with his teammates, but his inclination to keep to himself shifted as he grew older. Increasingly, Kobe put more energy into getting to know the other players, especially when the team was on the road. And Jackson also revealed that the sexual assault charges levied against Bryant clouded his outlook on him, because it cracked open an old wound, because Jackson's daughter, Brooke, had been sexually assaulted by an athlete in college.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then it says, the Kobe incident triggered all my unprocessed anger and tainted my perception of him. It distorted my view of Kobe throughout the 2003 and 4 season, Jackson writes. No matter what I did to extinguish it, the anger kept smoldering in the background. And then Bryant responded on Twitter Friday. The two comparisons are apples to oranges. The tweet said, wonder what the perception would be if M played with Shaq instead. Different roles, different career paths. The Times also reviewed other tidbits from the book, which is set to be released Tuesday. Jackson's interest in Zen picked up after he met a practicing Buddhist who was a construction worker and helped him build houses in the 70s. Jackson's words to Jordan after he showed up in the coach's office in 1995, hoping to return to basketball after a failed attempt at a baseball career. Jackson considers the Lakers' game 7 victory over Boston Celtics in 2010 finals the most satisfying of his career. But be that as it may, and those are kind of the excerpts of what's coming out. So I'm more inclined to buy it. I knew Kobe probably wouldn't like it. You know, nobody ever likes a tell-all book. But it is what it is. But I still say, I don't know if you noticed, but Jackson also turned down the Nets. And the Brooklyn Nets. I think I heard that or something like that. And when I heard it, I laughed because I was laughing because I was like, why are you people surprised? Like, I wouldn't even waste my time. You know, like I said before, the dude wants everything easy. He don't want to work for nothing. He wants to stand back, have a whole bunch of athletes, and that's it.
Well, you know, I saw something here, and I'm trying to find it. From what I understand that, and I could be wrong, he's said to be interested in the Seattle job. So, quite naturally, the Sacramento Kings. Wait a minute. The Sacramento Kings have been sold, or are very on the brink of being sold, and a organization or group from Seattle is going to move the team back to Seattle, or to Seattle. I guess they asked Jackson if he was interested in it. I'm trying to find out where
I got the news on that. Kings
right.
to be sold to Sacramento Group. They're keeping it in Sacramento. Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnson announced to screaming throngs of Kings fans Friday that the deal to sell NBA franchise to a group led by software tycoon Vivek Rana Dean has been signed. The announcement at City Hall brings to an end nearly 5 months of maneuvering by Johnson to secure the new ownership group, convince the control council to commit to building a new downtown area, and to show the NBA that the capital city of the most populous state in the nation has a fan base to make a venture successful. So they're not going to Seattle.
Okay.
They're staying here. The Maloofs are going to sell it to them for like $300 and some million. They owe $150 million to NBA and to the city of Sacramento, which they're going to pay off with that. And I think with – and I listened to the thing on ESPN where they were saying that the reason why they didn't is because they were trying to hold out to do the Seattle, but they just realized we can't sell out anymore. We owe this money. Let's get out of this. And they just sold it. So they will be staying in the Maloofs. Johnson said the deal reached between Maloofs and Ravadine Group did not include an investment from Hansen. NBA Commissioner David Stern praised Hansen's proposal and said the NBA might consider expansion once a new TV deal is in place. So they're going to pretty much stay. So, you know, being interested in Seattle, yeah, okay. But, you know, that group, but remember, that group had all those guys. But, I mean, I don't believe he was interested in that. I think that Phil Jackson, if he lands anywhere, I'll be shocked if he doesn't land in a major market somewhere and coach. I don't. And if, I'm talking about coaching now. If he goes as a general manager or as an executive to run a franchise, I'm just saying if he does, then that doesn't count because that's a whole different ball of wax. But as far as coaching, because I know that they said that him coming back, also he was interested in more controlling. Or what have you. And if he does, that's great. That's great for him. Do I think he can do that? Yes, absolutely. I think he could run an organization. I think he could because he knows his stuff. I give him that. But as far as coaching, you know, I've never seen him struggle. And I'm sorry. I can't judge a coach on, it's like being with a woman. You can be with a woman a long time and when everything's good, it's easy. You know, what happens when things don't go right? You know, what do you do then? And for me, I just think he's been fortunate to have it. Now, I don't knock him for having those guys or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But don't try to blow smoke up my ass and tell me that this guy is the greatest coach ever, and yet you have not one, not two, but three of probably some of the greatest players in NBA history. And you have a team around them that listens to them. And I'm not saying just the three. They had great players around them. You're talking about Scottie Pippen, so that's four. And then you got other, you know, and then you had other people on those who came in and out of the organization throughout the years. But you needed all those guys. It just wasn't the two. So, again, I stand by my thing that, you know, he's a good coach. I don't say he's a great coach because I've never seen him overcome hard things.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, the simple fact, and this is my opinion, that the organizations that hired him hired him because of how well he coached. So even though he walked into Michael Jordan and company or Kobe Bryant and Shaq and company, the reason he walked into those is because the organization went after him to put a good coach in with good or great players.
But nobody knew Phil Jackson was a great coach until he did Michael.
Well,
Michael got him the job at the Lakers. The six championships got him with the Lakers. Because before Chicago, nobody heard of Phil Jackson. He played on the New York Knicks. But nobody walked around saying, hey, man, we got this great coach. Man, his name is Phil Jackson. You know, he's done this, and this. You know, because let's be honest. What's his name in Miami?
Pat Riley.
Pat Riley wasn't known till he got with the. Nobody heard about him. He was known as a Laker player, an ex Laker player, but nobody knew he was a coach until he did the thing with Magic. And when he did it, he proved it. That was fine. But the difference is that Pat Riley didn't come in the league and then straight off the bat start winning, but he had a great team. He had Kareem and he had Magic. But he did it, but I'm saying he won five championships. He went through some lean times and put it together. Whereas I've never, for instance, some of the people that we call great coaches had bad years. We've had the guy from Green Bay. What's my man's name? The probably one. What's the famous coach of the Green Bay Packers? 1950s, 1960s, whatever.
Vince Lombardi.
Right, Vince Lombardi had some lean years. Overcame him. Got play right.
Sure.
You got my man from the Dallas Cowboys. Had horrible years. Went through the draft, traded Herschel, got some draft picks, came through, boom, overcame that. You can't tell me a story where Phil Jackson came into it and had lean years and said, okay, now we win. You know what I'm saying? Because let's be honest, like I've always said, Collins got them. Collins is the one who was there when Michael came and when they assembled most of those guys. When he left, they weren't horrible, but they decided to make a change. They brought in Phil. Nobody knew Phil before he came in there like that. He didn't have no reputation. But he came in at the right moment. He didn't go through any real hard times. They was making the playoffs. They were going deeper into the playoffs or what have you. They couldn't get past the Pistons, but they were going. So then they add some more talent, do whatever they do. But what I'm saying is this guy never went through, you know, seasons where he might be fired or, you know, they had to build through the draft and all this. He had great players off the break. He had Scottie Pippen from the break. He walked into a situation. That part I don't have a problem with. But to sit here and tell me that you have all these great players, you win 6 chips, come on, man. And then you walk into the Lakers job, and let's be honest, the Chicago job got him the Lakers job. The reputation, then he had the reputation to walk into a locker room. And let's be honest, when you walk into a locker room and you have all these people, people can believe what they want, but you walked in, and then what'd you get? You walked into Shaq and Kobe. And then you walked into whatever my man named Big Shot Bob. And then you had Derek Fisher. And then you had, you know, you had an ensemble of some great players. So I guess what I'm trying to say to you is I'm just saying I haven't seen him get punched in the mouth yet and have to come back. I've never seen him have to build through the draft like most coaches do. You know, like I say this right now, and I've said it on Facebook, is that Mark Jackson should have been coach of the year, not George Karl. That was a very bad choice. It's not about popularity. That was a sympathy vote. That was given to him because of the cancer he went through and the year he went through. And that's fine. If that's what y'all want to do, that's fine. But as far as coaching, man, you got the youngest team in the league and you go to the second round and you give
right.
and you give the Spurs all you want. Dude, he needed to be coach of the year. He should have been coach of the year just for getting them in the for getting them in the playoffs, which they haven't been in the playoffs I don't know how long. And then you get them there, and your oldest guy is 25 years old or whatever, 29 years old, and you got all these young guys in 23, 21. Come on, man. And you do, and you pull that off, and you go up against the Spurs, and you get them all they want, and they get to the second round. I'm sorry. You got to be coach of the year. See, that's what I'm trying to say to you, Jerry. I'm not saying that the man can't coach. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we haven't seen – to me, coaching is overcoming obstacles, overcoming bad seasons, overcoming, you know, terrible situations. You know, when you're down and out, you don't have the players you do, and you make do with what you have. I mean, look at what Mark did. Mark took basically young players. I mean, think about it. You get Steph Curry to play the way he did. Not only that, you get a rookie. And what's my man from North Carolina?
Harrison Barnes
to play like that. He wasn't even playing like a rookie. And you're putting him in positions to play. You see what I'm saying? You're putting him in positions to play a great game. You teaching them and doing them. Nobody expects that. He doesn't walk. You know what I'm saying? So I guess what I'm trying to say is, a great coach to me, show me what you like when things ain't going right. Show me what you like with rookies. Show me what you like when you ain't got everything rosy and good. Squeeze some lemons and make some lemonade. Then I'll give you your respect and say, you know what? He can coach. You know, he ain't supposed to be here. That's an obstacle. Slim, when you get all-star players, when you get the greatest players, some of the greatest players in NBA history on your team, all to everywhere you go, it's hard for me to look at you and say, okay, because I ain't never seen you get hit in your mouth.
Right.
I ain't never seen you get punched in the mouth. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying don't tell me he's the greatest coach ever because he has 11 chips. Because if I had those same teams, and if I had a leader like Michael Jordan, and I had a guy like Kobe Shaq who was leading Kobe and the rest of them and they're winning, I'm saying it makes your job easier. But to me, let me see what your medal is when things ain't going right. To me, that's a real coach. When you can take when you can take, you know, doo-doo and bring up roses. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, I still say, you know, he hasn't gone, you know, like I said, I'll be surprised if he doesn't go to a big market team somewhere, whatever. Like, if he took the Clippers, I wouldn't be shocked. If he took, you know, L.A., went back to L.A., I wouldn't be shocked. And don't be surprised if he doesn't go back to L.A. I wouldn't be surprised.
I would be shocked.
Oh, because people ain't, well, I mean.
The reason why I say that is because
they hate it. They don't like the coach they got.
Well, I understand that, but the
if Cleveland can recycle, so can everybody else.
Jim Buss, who happens to be the son of the deceased Jerry Buss,
right,
and sister of Phil Jackson's
father-in-law.
No, Jim Buss is the brother of Phil Jackson's girlfriend. Jim Buss and Phil Jackson do not get along. That's one of the reasons why Phil Jackson left this last time, because Jim Buss and his ego, and he had to prove, he more or less pushed Phil Jackson out the door to prove that he could run the team and he could get a coach that could do the same thing as Phil, and quite obviously he fell flat on his face in that department for the last
absolutely, because when you fire a coach after what, 8 games,
mm-hmm,
like what a knucklehead, and
right,
then you go get somebody else and it's like, really, this guy's worse than the other guy. We didn't even know what the other guy could do.
Right.
I mean, at least we knew they played defense.
Right.
You know, like I said, but there's stranger things. I mean, like I said, your man went back to Cleveland, which I thought was, I still think that's a dumb move, but okay, you want him to go back to Cleveland, that's fine. You know, go let him go back to Cleveland, but I think they're going to still be the same. They're going to be average, and that's just me. Unless they get an influx of some real talent, I think Cleveland's going to be a great defensive team, whatever, they'll still be the same thing. They'll still be the same as what they are. That's just me.
But they got a young stud there, Kyrie Irving.
I'm saying, and you're right, but it depends on two things. One, you have to get more players around him,
mm-hmm,
and you have to get them to play better. And what I'm saying is, since he hasn't had LeBron, now we're going to see, are you really as good as you said you were? Because can you still win the way you, at the clip you were winning with LeBron without it? See, to me, this is when you prove whether you're a real coach or not.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is when he's going to be able to prove himself. So, you know, that's when you're going to be able to say, hold on for a minute, hold on one second.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you know how that is. Mike Brown going back to Cleveland is going to be, in my opinion, you never go back. You never revert back. You always go forward. And to me, it's a sign of desperation on Mike Brown's part to go back to coaching in Cleveland.
Right.
I don't know. Did you hear what I said? I said it's a sign of desperation on Mike Brown's part to go back to Cleveland when he was kicked out of Cleveland and basically not on good terms. Now he's going back there, and to me, he's going back there with his tail between his legs. There's no way I would have taken that job back again. Not the way I think he was treated the first time. So,
right.
And I think that owner, even though, you know, everybody got up in arms when LeBron did what he did, but that owner, I think he, in my opinion, overstepped his bounds. And said some things and did some things that an owner shouldn't do toward a player, and told me that this guy is not a nice person, and took things personal. So I don't think I would have gone back to that owner because he may have some issues that you don't want to deal with.
No, I don't think LeBron will ever go back. I think LeBron's
next. No, I'm talking about Mike Brown.
Mike Brown.
He was pushed out of there before. Now he's going back, in my opinion, with his tail between his legs, and back
right
to this owner who I think is not a decent owner to work for.
Oh, I think he's a great owner to work for.
Really?
I'm sorry. Yeah, absolutely. I would rather have an owner. Let me say this to you.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have an owner that I have to reel in and say, hey, man, I'd rather have an owner with passion than an owner that sits back and don't say nothing like the rest of these do and just do stupid stuff. To me, I want an owner with passion. That's what I like about this new owner for the Pistons. He's got passion. He don't want to lose. He's going to do whatever it takes and spend whatever it takes, he said it, to win. I like that. I want my owner to say ridiculous stuff. I want my owner to say, you know what? This player left us. We're going to move on. And it's terrible that this is – because I'll say this. I like the guy. And I'm going to tell you why I like the guy. One, I like him because he has the balls enough to say what to speak the truth. Look, if a player treats me like crap and I've given you – if I've been over backwards and given you everything and you can't return my calls and you don't let me know and tell me what's going on and you leave me to learn everything like the public with and you don't handle it professional, what do you expect the guy to say? He's supposed to just sit back and shut up and not say anything and say, all right, he gone. I'm just not going to say nothing because, you know, I'm worried about what everybody will think about me. Nah, if I'm an owner and a player do me like that, you don't answer my phone calls when I call you, you run around in secret, you dogging us, and then I find out on TV like everybody else, and you don't have the nerve to call me yourself and tell me you're leaving and thank me for the opportunity, nah, you wrong. That's wrong. I don't care. That's professional. In the real world, you don't leave a job without you're supposed to give a 2-week notice.
Right.
It doesn't mean you. And all I'm saying to you is, I'm not saying that what he said was politically correct or it was the best thing. My thing is, you should have said something. You should have treated the guy with respect. For 7 years, you were there. And I understand, but see, in this culture, you got young people who say, man, he don't owe him nothing. It's not about owing anybody anything. It's about respect. It's about you're still an employee to an employer. You still have a boss. You have a manager. You still show respect to that manager. And you do that until you leave or until you go somewhere else. And when you do, you thank them and you owe them nothing else. You're right. But you should at least... LeBron should have at least called him and told the man, if you ain't going to tell the public, that's fine. At least tell the owner. At least tell the man that hired you that you go look at everything. The guy that let your boys come in for free. The man who accommodated your every wish because you were the star player. Come on, man. You can't come back and then act like, well, nah, you know, I don't want that, you know, and then act real crappy to him. And then you have the nerve to get mad because the man comes out and basically says you're a rotten person because you didn't call me. And you're narcissistic and all that. He should have. I mean, if that's how he felt, he should have said it. Because that's how I would have felt if you did it to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I just find it amazing that people feel like, you know, he's a bad owner, and but he was mean, and that was disrespectful. Okay, well, guess what? They're both assholes. They're both disrespectful because they both did something wrong to each other. He didn't tell him nothing. He let him find out, and he shouldn't have been like that. You should tell the person that you're. And I still stick by that. Put it like this. Like I said, when nobody liked it. Just like they said, that just like the day I saw Peyton Manning when he left the Colts, I put on Facebook and Twitter, this is how you leave a team. This is how you leave a team, LeBron. Take notes. You don't leave a team. Look at the way Peyton left. Peyton left, it was classy. He thanked the fans. He thanked the owner. He stepped out, exit stage right. Guess what? You hear anybody say anything bad about Peyton Manning? You hear anybody,
no.
You hear the people in Indianapolis saying you're a butthole and we don't like you and burn his jersey and stuff? No, because he gave it. People understand you're going to leave. People understand the way the business is. They understand that. They're not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But they also understand there's a certain way of decorum, there's a certain way you should leave because, let's be honest, the fans pay your salary. The man... You know, you put butts in the seat, you have to at the least, what he did was come out with a statement, thank the fans, thank the owner, you know, and left with class. And that's all I'm saying to you. So I'm saying that the owner, even though I think the owner was stupid for letting Peyton Manning go and go to Denver, but at the same token, I respect his decision. But the guy left with respect. And I'm pretty sure if Peyton Manning went out and started saying nasty stuff, or didn't tell the guy and just left, Never thank the fans, none of that. I bet you Peyton Manning would be paying the price right now. He wouldn't be liked in Colts. That man can walk anywhere up and down that street in Indianapolis anytime he wants, and he'll be fine. So, you know, that's the way I look at it. But be it as it may, you're right. He did go back, tucked his tail between his legs. Would I went back to Cleveland? You know, no. Especially when I'm getting paid on the deal, I'm still with the Lakers, too. So I wouldn't have left. But to be that as it may, he's going back, but I don't think he's going to have much success. And that's just my opinion. I don't think he's going to have much success because you only got Kyrie. You don't have enough. And as much as he has defense, as much as you have defense, you got to have the personnel. And I just don't think there's personnel. And that's not Mike's fault. But I'm just saying, I don't think he's going to have the success he had. You know, and he's a classic example of a guy who was successful because of LeBron and ended up getting a job to me that was too big for him. And I never thought Mike Brown was a great, great coach. I thought he was always – Mike Brown, to me, is always a guy you bring in with young guys, with guys who respect, and he can build them to a certain point, and then you let the other another coach or better coach come in and, you know, take over. Like, Mark Jackson doesn't strike me as that type of guy. Mark Jackson could go with, you know, any team in the NBA and coach.
Mm-hmm.
Because he just has a demeanor and a presence about him that when he says something, you automatically know, like, dang, like, he ain't playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
sure.
You know, it's kind of funny. Like I said, it's kind of really a trip. But that's pretty much on that. In other news, let's see. Ex-Ohio State running back Claret is going to try his hand at a professional rugby league. Ha,
oh, boy.
Ha, ha. Hopefully he won't steal the balls. and sell them. how about Tiger Woods winning?
Tiger Woods.
Yeah. and shutting up Sergio Garcia. Sergio Garcia needs to learn a lesson. I think he's the dumbest golfer on the planet. Like, why would you awaken the tiger? And I could understand if you were good enough. I could even understand maybe Rory McIlroy don't talk trash, and he's number two or right behind on his left. Even he doesn't talk trash to Tiger. Even when he was number one, he didn't say nothing to Tiger.
Right.
He kept
right.
it respectful and made friends. Was like, look, man, you know, it's cool, whatever. I just didn't understand the whole thing because when I saw it, they said that when he pulled the stick, the guy told him he'd already shot. But
mm-hmm.
to me, Sergio is the only guy I can really chalk that up as just jealousy. That whole weekend was nothing about jealousy.
Yeah,
it was about he's better than me. I'm sick of it. I don't like it. Because let's be honest, he ain't the only one. There are a lot of golfers who think that Tiger who are jealous of Tiger Woods and don't.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
It. Simply because,
absolutely.
I don't even think it's a race issue. I think it's the fact that because if you think about it, before Tiger Woods, there were between Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. There was no dominant golfer. There was no
mm-hmm.
dominant golfer. Everybody had a chance every week. Now you got this one guy who comes along and does some things different and beat your brains out and has the potential to embarrass you. And I think people just don't like it and intimidate. That's why people had such a joy when he failed.
Right.
They were like, oh, man, this is great. He'll never come back. He's done. He's finished. You could tell because how many golfers you know started saying little stuff when he was going through the marriage thing and the cheating thing. Did you see how many golfers were talking trash about Tiger and had little things to say about Tiger?
I was like, wow.
They
jumped on the bandwagon.
And now that he's back, I noticed those same golfers, I can't find you. What was you saying?
Right.
You can't say nothing now? You know, now you're not going to get back on and say, you know, Tiger's here. But, like, you know, and I knew it wasn't over with Tiger because I was like, the one thing about Tiger, he's a very focused person. But I was like, man, if Tiger ever gets this, because I kept saying, man, if Tiger ever come back on this, y'all done. Like, y'all going to be in some real trouble because you guys are idiots. You don't
mm-hmm.
even understand what you're doing. And
right.
now that he's back and better than ever, and like I said, the one thing I said was I think golf, the worst thing they could have done was do what they did when he was down, kick him when he was down. Because
mm-hmm.
now I think Tiger's on this whole. He's not gonna say it, but I really think he's on a quest to say, you know what? I'm gonna kick y'all ass, and I'm gonna kick it every chance I get. And whether I hit Jack Liggett's number or not, I don't care. I'm going to make sure I'm going to leave out of here kicking your ass. And
right.
when I get through kicking it, you're going to know that I was here. And like I said, for all the criticism that Tiger gets, for all the stuff, you know, now they can't criticize me anymore about his personal life because now he's with Lindsey Vonn. They can't criticize me anymore about his game and say, well, he's finished because now he's the world's number one and he's won his 4 out of the first 7 tournaments this year.
Mm-hmm.
And finished where? With the Masters, he finished what? Top 5 or whatever
yep.
that was? Okay.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah.
Right. So the only thing they can criticize him about now, which now they turn to, well, he'll never reach Jack Nicklaus' record. And what I loved about, like I said, the one thing I loved about Tiger is Tiger said, they said, what if you don't get it? He said, then I don't get it. I'm satisfied with my career, and
mm-hmm.
I don't get it. And I was so proud of him because I was like, that's how you take it away from him. Because that's all they want. They always want to take away what you do. Same thing with Floyd Mayweather. You put him in jail. You really didn't have no evidence on him, but you did it anyway to put him in his place. Now you finally think, oh, we got somebody to beat him. Same thing they do with Tiger. They always try to set up a person to be your foil, to be your rival. Like, they always want somebody to kick your butt as much as you kick everybody else's butt. And with those two type of guys, you're not going to find them because they're so good at their craft. And what sports has never figured out and never understood is the old adage, you know about it, I know about it, guys know about it in the hood. You talk shit, all you're going to do, there are certain athletes you just don't talk to, you don't talk trash to, because
right.
all it's going to do is fire them up. They're going to get more focused. They're going to play better. They're going to go practice. They're going to get better, and they're going to come back, and they're going to beat you. They're few and far between. When I was coming up, you had a lot of guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember guys used to, like cry. And you wouldn't even let them – you wouldn't ever let a guy see you cry, but you would cry about that. You'd be pissed. And you'd be ready to come back, man, I'm going to get these dudes. And that's what it was about. And these guys are those type of guys. You know, of course, they thought, and that's the only reason why all these people, which I think is funny, which they're so stupid, you know, they keep, they keep messing with Mayweather. All they do is keep trying to find a guy to stop him. That's the only reason why they were. But what they don't understand is that's why he's making so much money at pay-per-view and making box office records, because you guys want to see him get that one behind that zero. You want to see to get that change that zero into a one. Tiger,
mm-hmm.
y'all want to see him not get Jack Nicklaus, so you can still say, well, he was great, but he never got Jack Nicklaus. Slim, do you know how many golfers would trade to have those records? To have those records that he has? This guy's bearing down on Sam Snead? Like, that's one of the greatest golfers ever. And this guy, when he won that thing, when he won that that tournament last week, he's only, I think they said he was only 4 away now from Sam Snead's all-time record. And the thing, and here's the crazy part. The crazy part is, with the way golf is today, and with the kind of shape that Tiger's in, he could play well into his 40s and still be winning tournaments. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, so to me, like I said, I just find it amazing that Tiger won. Sergio Martinez is about, I mean, not Sergio Martinez. Sergio is a dummy. About the dumbest
Very
dude
big
on
dummy.
The planet.
Very big dummy.
I just didn't understand the whole thing, and it was almost like, okay. And the funny thing was sitting there on Sunday laughing at this kid when he hits not one ball but 2 balls in the water.
Water,
I'm sitting
yep.
there like, are you really serious? Like, really, that's how you went out like that? Like, who does that? But see, he was so busy trying to shoot over the water and show off and try to win the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't even take, I mean, even Tiger didn't hit over the water. Tiger hit it on the green, and I'm going to just go ahead and take my time and take my shots and get what I got to get. And, you know, that's the difference in the field. And we were sitting there the other day, me and a friend of mine, and we were counting how many guys they put in front of Tiger every time they try to make him a rival. Remember, there was Duvall. Then he failed. Then they put Mickelson. He's a clown. Then they put Sergio. Duh. And then you put, you know, even the young kid now, McIlroy. He ain't ready for Tiger. He's not up to his level. He's good, don't get me wrong, but he's not up to that level. And when you see all these people have fallen by the wayside who are just average golfers who they try to put up against him, it don't make sense. It just shows you how good he is. So congratulations to Tiger. I'm glad he won. I hope he wins the next tournament. I'm waiting for him to get the next major. Hopefully he'll get another major. But, you know, like I said, you know, people try to – and then people try to, you know, downplay the win that he had because they were saying, well, it's not a major. But like one of the guys said, he said, yeah, but all the top players in the world were there. So I didn't take away and say that he didn't get – the only difference is the name on the tournament. If that tournament had Masters on it, he would have won the Masters. If he had this, he still would have won the four out of the seven. I mean, golfers don't win four out of the first seven matches at the beginning of the year. You just don't have a winning streak like that, you know. And he'll probably end up being the number one money maker on the tour again, you know. And so, you know, congratulations to him. You know, Sergio needs to shut up and just stop doing it. Just quit doing it. Quickly before we get off, so we have about 10 minutes left. You know, congratulations to the Spurs who beat the Warriors. They did a great job. Their experience came through. My prediction is they'll get beat by the Grizzlies. I just think Zach Randolph and those big bodies are going to be a problem for the Spurs. I think the Age will catch up to them when they have to box out Zebo and you have to deal with Marc Gasol. I just think that's going to be the difference. And Tim Duncan can't handle both. And I don't know who's going to handle the other. But I'm interested in seeing that matchup. But I think it's going to be – I think this series is going to be a seven-game series. That's what I think. But I think the Grizzlies will win.
Okay.
I'd like to see Indiana. I don't know what they were doing, if they were point shaving yesterday or what, but that was terrible. You know, I just sat there, I said, man, these dudes are point shaving. I said, NBA is entertainment.
Stop, man. Come on.
I'm just saying, like, come on, man. Are you really serious? Like, some of those passes they did, like David West passed the ball right to the guy. I'm sitting there like, really? Really? Really y'all going to do this? You know, you could have lost better than this and if you wanted to go to a game six. I mean, for the ratings. I mean, it's certain things like that. I was just sitting here like, Indiana done played all this time, good as I don't know what, and now all of a sudden you got these guys leading you. I'm like, come on, man, stop playing with me. I expect Indiana to beat the Knicks tomorrow and end it. I expect the Heat to get by Indiana. And I'm going to go all the way. I would say that, and I'll say this. I predict the Grizzlies to beat the Heat if they meet. And I'll tell you why.
Wait a minute. Before you go on, is that are you saying that because of your dislike for LeBron, or you actually think that the
Miami
Heat?
I'm going to back it up. That's why I said I wanted to back it up, and I didn't want to preface. I was going to say why. And the reason why is because if they get up there, they are a matchup nightmare because the weakness of the Heat has always been inside play. And when you have a guy like Zebo and you have a guy like Marc Gasol, you're going to have problems. That's a mismatch. They don't have enough personnel to stop both. I think both of them will get Bosh he'll get Bosh. Now don't get me wrong, Bosh has an advantage if he's hitting his shot from the outside. But I believe that Zebo can check him. And I believe he's big enough and physical enough to give him a hard time. And Gasol, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, who the hell going to match up with Gasol? You going to put LeBron on him? I mean, you know, the only – but that's what I said. They don't have a big man. And that's, I think, the difference of what's going to hurt them. That I think they have no answer for. Two of them. Not one. Two of them. And I just don't think they – I don't think that the two guys they got – the two biggest guys they got, if you think about it, the two biggest guys they got are, what's his name? Bosh. And what's the other one? Baby Spice. What's his name? What's the other guy's name? The guy with the afro, the Energizer
Hasim,
bunny. Huh?
Hasim or Hassan or whatever. I forget what exactly
I know,
his
you,
name.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
he's been with the Heat for a while. He can't do nothing with Gasol. He's too big for both of them. He's too strong. We saw that in the other thing. So, you know, like I said, I just think that's the biggest reason why. And I think they're younger, and I think they'll give them problems. Don't get me wrong, LeBron will give them problems, but there's so many questions. One, they have two big men. Three, we don't know what Dwayne Wade and how long. I mean, yeah, you know, the last few years he's been lucky. He can play on an injured knee or whatever. But, you know, one hit, what we've seen in the playoffs, one hit, one bad come down, whatever, he's gone. And I'm telling you right now, if LeBron or him go down, it's over. You can forget it. And I think even if they're out there, it's going to be over. Because I just don't think, I think the Grizzlies present a matchup nightmare. Remember, this is the same group that lost to Dallas. And what did Dallas have? Dallas had two big men. Dallas had one big man that could shoot, and what's his name? I can't remember his name. Now I'm going blank on freaking players' names.
Who, Dirk Nowitzki?
Dirk Nowitzki. And they had, what's his name? I can't remember the other big man they had from North Carolina. They had him. And then they had guards, and, you know, it was a matchup nightmare. They had guys that could really move and play. And if you notice, Grizzlies have the same thing. They have the same type of team like Dallas did that's going to give them problems. Now, defensively, you know, that's great, but I don't think they can do anything with the two big men. I think that's going to be the difference in the series. So now, you know, it's not about LeBron, because LeBron, ain't nobody going to stop LeBron. LeBron going to show up. LeBron going to do his thing. But what I'm saying is LeBron can't check them two dudes. He's going to have to give up something. But I don't think they're going to have him try to play them. And if they do, that's fine. But then Dwayne Wade's going to have a problem. Gasol is a problem all by himself because he's strong and he can do it. And then you got, and like I said, then you got your guy, and you got Zebo. And Zebo's a problem because he's big and he's athletic. And he'll put you in foul trouble because he goes to the basket strong, and under the rim he's going to put people in foul trouble, you know. So the only thing that can make a difference in that is if, and I'm going to say a big, this is a big if, the NBA decides they want to start calling crazy calls that they never called in the previous rounds against Grizzlies, and they start calling it now. That's the only thing I can see, the only way they would win another one. But like I said, if it's the Grizzlies, that's fine. If it's the Spurs, then the Heat will win another one. And that's just the way I think. Because
you think so?
The Spurs are, I don't think they can beat the Heat. I just don't. I just think their age would show up. And that's just me. Tony Parker's playing great at the age of 30. That's great, and Ginobili, but I don't know if they have enough to beat the Heat. Trust me, I'm hoping. Trust me, I'm praying every night. I'm fasting and praying. I'm going to church that they don't win another one. Trust me, I don't want them to win one. No, I don't, because then all, you know, like I said, we're going to see the same thing. Because I make another prediction. Like I said, LeBron's going to end up after next year going to the Lakers. I really believe that.
Just no, heard I can't. Why would you think that?
Because it makes sense. Because the one, he has an out in his contract, an option to leave the Heat and go somewhere else. Who's leaving after next year?
What do you
I'm
mean?
Asking you, who's leaving the Lakers after next year?
Kobe.
Exactly. So why wouldn't I take my 28, 29-year-old butt over there and I can be the king of L.A.? And I got Dwight Howard.
If Dwight decides to stay there.
If Dwight decides to stay. But whether he does or not, he's a franchise player when he comes in. And he can get the max dollars that he couldn't get in the Heat, that he sacrificed for. And I think LeBron is the type of person that would be satisfied with getting one in Miami and then, okay, now I go to L.A., go something new, get some more teammates around me, or go do it again. I'm predicting, don't be surprised if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you. You may think I'm crazy, but I've said crazy stuff. But I'm going to tell you, when it happens, I'm going to look at you and I'm gonna say, Jerry, remember, I told you first. It makes perfect sense. When you think about it, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
And we already know, before that day comes, we'll know if Dwight's there, because Dwight has to sign this year. So why would you not arguably go get a nice young center and myself and go there and run out? L.A.? That's bigger than Miami. That's more money. That's stupid money. Dwayne Wade's getting older, and after next year, I don't think Dwayne Wade's going to be the same. So why would I stay?
Well, that's
just
true,
think about
too.
It. Just think about it.
Yeah, they took Bosh and LeBron took a pay cut, basically.
Yeah.
They didn't ask for max dollars to go to Miami.
Exactly.
So the next contract, you know they're going to ask for max dollars.
Exactly, and they can't afford all of them, so guess what's going to happen? Bye. I go to L.A. Blake, it's a blank spot over here in L.A. And if you think for one moment that teams ain't gonna float ideas, talk to people through there, and try to do it the same way they do now, try to get him to come over there when he has a player option, you crazy. And LA, that is straight. That is straight up an LA move.
You don't think? Because there's been talk, and I don't know where the talk came from that LeBron would. There may be a chance that LeBron would go back home.
I don't believe that. For what? What's at home? Max Dollars with no team? He got Kyrie Irving. I'm just saying, let's say he just have him and Kyrie Irving. They better pull like this.